So how's the practice going today? How's the awareness of awareness? Easy? Question? Very good.
This morning, two things happened. I try to image the black smoke. When I breathe out, the black smoke coming out.
Yep. I think what you're referring to is actually something mentioned in Alamoz's book, and maybe I'll read a little bit about it, is that our sense of identity, who we are, or who we think we are at least, is constantly reinforced by two things, by a physical solid sense of body. This is constantly reinforcing me, this solid sense of body. And the other thing that's reinforcing the sense of me is the mental content. You know, all of our thoughts and emotions and memories and so forth, that's constantly reinforcing this sense of me. Now, what can happen in the shamatha practice is, particularly if we have a good posture, comfortable posture, then and the solid sense of body can really reduce, that we don't really have a solid sense of body anymore. And then also we can have, if the mind starts to quieten down and not so much mental chatter, then there's nothing mentally that's reinforcing the sense of me. And so, therefore, our normal sense of who we think we are is not being reinforced. And therefore, what can happen at that point is, if we don't understand that's what's going on, a lot of fear can come into the practice. Fearing somehow that we're going out of existence, we don't exist anymore. But this is a false sense of fear. Because the only thing that's going out of existence is a false sense of me, a sense of me that's wrongly identifying with the body and the mind. So if we have that sort of experience where there doesn't seem, we don't seem to exist anymore, then actually this is a very good sign. It means that our body is very relaxed and our mind is calming down. And there's nothing to fear in that spacious awareness. And to highlight that a little bit more, I'll read a little bit from Alan Wallace's book. I think that was on about a page 100. Yeah, here, page 100. He says the following. One of the more common challenges in this practice is the emergence of fear. As you release your grip on the contents of the mind, you are undermining your normal sense of personal identity, which is constantly reinforced by thinking, by recalling, and identifying with your personal history, hopes, and plans. Now you are disengaging from these familiar supports for substantiating your ego. As lapses between thoughts occur more and more frequently and for longer periods, your awareness hovers in a kind of empty space, a vacuum devoid of personhood. You may come into the grip of fear as your normal sense of who you are loses its footing. The teacher Genlam Rinpa warned his students that such dread may well arise during their training. It is crucial, he counseled, not to identify with it nor give it any credence. Some kinds of fear are based in reality. They protect us from danger, filling the body with energy so that we can flee or protect ourselves in whatever way necessary. But this kind of dread with no clear object has no such basis in reality. There is no danger in the empty, luminous space of awareness. You have nothing to lose but your false sense of an independent, controlling ego. The only thing being threatened is an illusion. If you don't identify with it, there's nothing to fear. If you do identify with this fear, it may bring your entire practice to a grinding halt and throw you into deep emotional imbalances. So it is of utmost importance to observe such fear without distraction and without grasping. Keep to the essentials of the practice. Is that your question? Or half?
Don't feel the fear.
Right.
I just feel weird.
Weird, yeah.
Yeah.
So
you feel like, okay, that usually happens to the people like that experience, they feel that their body and the spirit is separating, like the energy and their body. I don't feel like that anymore.
Yeah, and that's quite natural. Again, if we really settle, if we have a good posture and it's very relaxed and no aches and pains, and then we're really focused particularly on the mind as the object, then we can lose the sense of a body. But that's okay. That's fine. I mean, the body's still there. It's just that because now our focus is really on the mind, we're not noticing the body. So that's very unusual for us because we've never really had that sort of experience before. So there's nothing to fear or worry about there at all. It's actually a good sign that we're really focusing on the mind well. So don't worry about it. It's okay. Yeah, I mean, as you... Yeah, I mean, if you're really practicing the mind practice or the awareness practice well, as you progress in the practice, this solid sense of a body will really collapse. But that's okay. No problems. It's still there. The body's still there. It's not disappearing. So it's okay. Fine. Anything else anyone would like to bring up from today's practice? Yeah.
I mean, it was the same when I started with things. I just sit or just sit with your Buddha nature. It was abstract and quite frustrating.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what I was trying to do is kind of demystify the whole thing. And I always think about the story of the Buddha, which I love very much, that after the Buddha tried all kinds of practices and asceticism and other things, he remembered the time when he was young, and sat in the garden. We all know the story.
Yeah.
And I always try to think that maybe these states that we are looking for in the meditation are not so some transcendent state, that
no.
we get glimpses of them during other moments when we're not trying to meditate.
Yeah.
So, I mean, for me, this awareness of awareness, I get glimpses of it when I'm not meditating. Sometimes when I'm meditating, but often when I'm not meditating, when I'm not trying to do anything. I'm just,
correct.
I'm just resting. I'm
correct.
Sitting in a, I don't know, chair somewhere and doing nothing. Just the
that's
mind
right.
is clear. The mind is really, like, alert, clear, but empty.
Yes.
No thoughts, no breathing, no sensations. It might be a moment, but this is it, I guess. So,
that's right.
So the whole point of the practice is basically to be able to generate those states that anyway we know, but to generate them deliberately and sustain them.
Correct.
But it's not something very
correct.
Abstract. It's
correct.
Kind of,
yeah.
We
yeah.
all have it.
Yeah, that's right. It's not some mystical
yeah.
altered state that we're trying to find. Mm-hmm. The fact is it's always there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem, because it's always there. It's too close.
Yeah.
So we're looking for something out there or looking for something different when it's right there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really just ordinary. I mean, it's not like some wow mystical thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore we're looking for something mystical. We're looking for something special. And that's and it's actually the looking that is
yeah.
the doing
yeah.
that
the
is the problem. You know, it's the problem. It's like you know, we've got to stop doing and stop looking, and then we can discover it. We can be in that experience. So again, that's part of the problem with even giving instructions for this, because any sort of instruction you give is like a doing instruction,
yeah.
and then people start to do something. And so it's actually even hard to even give any valid instructions, because it's basically don't do anything, you know, just be. But even just be, people turn that into doing, you know. Oh, what do I have to do? Oh, I have to be. How do I do that? How do I have to do this being thing, you know? And it's right. And it's sometimes we have these little glimpses of this in just when we're sitting at home and suddenly our mind becomes quiet and there it is, you know. So that's right. I mean, so we're not really trying to look for something out there or mystical or something new or something. And that's the difficulty. It's right. It's too close to us. It's right there, and that's why we can't see it. It's a bit like, I think it's a bit like asking, you know, a fish to find water. You know, I mean, it's everywhere, and then therefore they can't see it. Where is this water stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, so that's a very good point you made.
So, for me, I would like to share as well. So, when we do observe the mind, basically, for me, it's more difficult to thoughts to appear. So, when I do...
You're talking about yesterday's practice or today's?
So, now I'm comparing.
Oh, okay.
But when I do this awareness of awareness, when I do it, for me it's not difficult not to have thoughts at all. Actually, it's more easy, and I think that this is the when I do awareness of awareness is when I do mindfulness of the thoughts, just the place where I try to make them emerge. However, I'm not sure, just because it seems kind of, I don't have the problem with like popping up thoughts, but I think maybe it's spacing out, because I don't think it can be that easy, and it's probably spacing out or something, and I don't know, because for example I read that it's not good if you are spacing out to do this for quite a long time, because this can have a deteriorating effect upon your, you know, brain and all these things. You might become more dull,
yeah.
And I just don't know what it is, because
yeah.
I don't have problem
sure.
with this thought thing, but
sure.
am I spacing out? What am I
yeah.
doing?
I mean, when you're spaced out, of course, we're lost. We're not aware. So as long as there's awareness there, you're not spaced out. As long as you're present and you know you're present, then
but
you're not...
But when there are no thoughts, how do I know whether I'm present or I'm spacing out?
Because as soon as you know you're spacing out, you're not spacing out anymore. You're aware, aren't you?
Yes.
In the middle of spacing out, you're not aware that you're spacing out. As soon as you become aware of spacing out, you're aware.
Yeah, but what if I'm not aware I'm spacing out? That's what that was my question.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're in that experience and there is some awareness, then you're not really spacing out. Maybe there's not clarity, but you're not spacing out. So if you know that you're in that experience, then you're not spacing out.
I'm the experience of being aware.
Yeah.
So I'm not spacing out if I know that this is what I'm doing now.
Yeah, if you have some awareness of what's going on. Okay, maybe it's not clear, but then you're not spacing out.
And what does it mean to be clear? Because when you don't have thoughts, anyway, there's nothing to be clear. I mean, it's just being there, right? How can you be there more clear?
That's the clarity that we talked about, those three qualities of clarity, non-conceptuality, bliss. These qualities become more and more evident the more you practice. And I think Alan Wallace mentioned that when yesterday in the context of stage 5 or 6 or 7. And he was saying only a really experienced meditator can notice if the clarity is really there or there is some dullness. So this is something that takes time, and we become more and more, it becomes more and more evident to us, the clarity or the lack of it. That's just something we get through experience.
I see. So basically, if we are aware of what we are doing, but at the same time our mind is clear,
yeah,
this means that we are doing the practice of being and we are not spacing out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Yeah. Thank you very much.
I have a question. So if about this awareness of awareness, everybody's doing this meditation and we do it. Everybody has this, at least it looks for me, everybody has this half white elephant already. And then suddenly this black monkey comes up very roughly. So I missed the train already.
You missed the...
I missed the train, so if I come back, I understand that this is the point. I cannot just be aware or something.
Right.
So is it better for me then to start with breathing, or so not to try to catch the train again?
Yeah, sure. You know, each of these practices, by its nature, from breath to mind to awareness, is becoming more and more subtle. So if we can't really get into this awareness of awareness practice, then we can start with the breath and use the breath or use the mind. So there's no point in going into a practice where we can't even begin to do the practice. So that's why Alan Wallace, as one of his recommendations, is to use the breath for the first 4 stages so that the mind becomes more stable and clear. Then use the mind as the object, because now the mind is much more stable and clear and it's much easier to focus on the mind. And then use that for a few stages. And then the clarity and stability is much heightened. And then resting in awareness becomes very easy. So we can use that as well. So we don't have to. I mean, if we really do find this awareness too challenging, then we can leave it out and maybe do it some other time in the future.
It can also be that one session is totally,
yeah,
and then the next one is,
yeah, yeah, of course. I mean, and this is one point where we have to understand about this idea of good meditation and bad meditation. You know, often people are, you know, when they're discussing their meditations amongst themselves, one person will say, oh, I had a really good meditation today. My mind was completely still, you know. Or, oh, my meditation today was awful. My mind was all over the place, you know. If this is our idea of good and bad meditation, then we're a little bit stuck in the hope-fear cycle. We're just hoping for pleasant things and fearing or worrying about unpleasant things. And then we're just going to get caught up in attachment and aversion, and we're not really going to go anywhere. Because from one day to the next, you know, our mind is very different. Some days it's naturally more quiet and focused. Other days it's naturally more active and agitated. So in the short term, within a day and over some days, there can be great differences in our stillness and ability to focus. So in the short term, there's a lot of ups and downs, and that's just natural. So basically what a good meditation is simply any meditation where we try to the best of our ability to follow the instructions, no matter what happens. Because on some days the mind's more focused and quiet, and other days it's not. And that's just normal. So if we can keep that in mind, and then we can avoid a lot of unnecessary frustration when things don't go like they did in the last session, for example. So then if we just apply the effort and we try the best we can, and then no matter what happens, and then be happy with that. Because also, often the times where we progress most in our practice is when we're challenged to work on overcoming the dullness and distraction. So that's when we actually can make progress, when these things come up. So therefore, if we have this attitude, then we'll avoid a lot of this unnecessary sort of frustration and understand that there will be a lot of changes from one session to the next and so forth. That's all.
There is one point when the monitor thing, yeah? The monitor, yeah, when you,
yeah.
And then you look at the thoughts or whatever comes from the mind, and then comes the monitoring thing from here. So, no confusion. Whoops. Somebody can talk or say something. Or this idea also should be here. I have to monitor. I monitor, but then I already come with an idea. Do you understand what I mean?
You mean the introspection?
Yeah, I mean introspection, there is the
generates comments.
Comments, and that's an object. Okay.
Who can see something.
Okay. Right. Yeah. So one thing we need to be careful of is in this shamatha practice of observing the mind is not turn it into vipassana practice. So in this practice, we're not interested in knowing who is the observer or who is the monitor or where they are. That's vipassana practice. So just have that operating and don't start then going, oh, who is this monitor? Where are they? Is it there or is it here? Or this is vipassana practice. So these are sorts of questions we can ask in vipassana practice to realize the nature of the mind. Like, who is the observer? Is the observer something the same or different than the mind that is being observed? And who is this introspection? Is introspection the same or different than the observer? And is it something, is it the object or subject? So these are valid questions to ask in a vipassana type practice to come to understand and realize the nature of the mind. Here in shamatha practice, we don't really want to entertain those questions because then we're getting distracted from the practice. We simply use that monitor or introspection to monitor and don't then start asking these questions about, well, is it here, is it there?
It's maybe because of the, I don't know how the other people, it's kind of hard to see the thought or the event because it's kind of like boiling kettle.
Sure, that's right.
If I try to understand one thing or one thought, then I'm already coming with it.
Sure.
So, but what's then the difference between looking at the events or the space.
What do you mean, what's the difference?
We did this meditation where we had to start to look at this
space of the mind.
Where the thoughts come. Mm-hmm. So when I try to, it depends on the days, but for example, today when I start to look at the thoughts or the things, it's.
Yes, sure.
This thing, and now when I start to look at the space where the thoughts come, it's the same. So isn't
it? So sure. Yeah, I mean, like the analogy would be. The clouds and the sky, like the space is the sky and the thoughts are the clouds. So of course, if the sky is full of clouds and you say, look at the sky, then it's going to be difficult. But of course, if it's not full of clouds, but there's some clouds here and there, and then look at the sky, you can see the sky between the clouds. So it's a bit like that. And of course, if there's not a lot of thoughts, then it's much easier to see the sky, to rest, to see the space of the mind. So that's true. I mean, if you're having a lot of thoughts coming along, then of course to observe the space of the mind might be a little bit difficult because all of those thoughts are occupying the space of the mind and it's not so evident then. In the original question.
Yeah, in my understanding. In other words, when the introspection turns into thought, melds with the mind, so to speak, when to sort of distinguish one from the other.
To distinguish introspection from?
From thoughts and from analysis.
I mean, of course, as a beginner, we will have a little bit of commentary there, because we have to remind ourselves what we're going to do. But yes, I mean, then of course, introspection is just to observe if there's dullness and distraction. And then if there's commentary coming up, of course, that's just another object. Yeah, we need to be able to distinguish that. That's true. Just be.
I didn't actually have any thoughts at all. There was like minutes and minutes, and I was like, it was a very peaceful feeling. I was just like lying, and there was like this, I visualized some kind of like energy just going through me or something. That was the only thing. There was no thoughts. There was like I was lying there, and it was like very peaceful. I don't know if I was lazy or if I sensed something, because there was no thoughts, no emotions, nothing but this, like this. Like I started to think that it was like I was like lying on my soul.
So maybe you were sort of then, that experience of awareness that you had, you were then trying to make it into something more tangible or by visualizing it or imagining it in a certain way.
Yeah, because I visualized that. That's my tool.
Sure.
Normalized very much.
Yeah. So I think it's good then in those experiences to try not to imagine or visualize and just rest in the raw experience itself as much as possible. But that's okay.
Yeah, because you said earlier that there might be these thoughts and everything coming and going, and I noticed that I didn't have any
Good, very good. Good.
I have this experience with this awareness. When I try to just rest and be, this kind of like creeping kind of feeling starts to come in, that it's like that I have to make some sort of decision between like that nothing matters for the everything that is. With the thoughts that come, and it feels like I put my finger in this electric socket, and it really puts an end to my being there, because it kind of like sets me out somehow. It's like I can't stay neutral to the thoughts, and it kind of scares me if I start drifting into that nothing matters.
Yeah, but it's not a matter of nothing matters. So it's not like we're trying to block thoughts or to not care about thoughts or something like that. It's just simply we're not paying attention to them in this practice. That's all.
I just can't seem to not somehow take this. It seems like a decision that I have to somehow make. I can't say it's just kind of.
Yeah, but so we shouldn't get into the idea that somehow we are rejecting thoughts or that they don't matter or something like that. That's not the choice. It's not a matter of choosing, oh, thoughts are important or they're not important. That's not the, it's just where we're focusing at the moment. That's all. So you can say, you can have the idea that yes, thoughts are important, but at the moment, I'm not focusing on them. That's all. So maybe something like that can help, you know, that yes, we're not talking about sort of thinking thoughts are not important or rejecting thoughts or something. It's just that at the moment, I'm just resting in the awareness, that's all. So it's not that sort of choice to sort of negate thoughts, to think that they're not important or we're getting rid of them or something. That's all. It's just that we're focusing on awareness at that time, that's all. So maybe that can help.
I think I did very quite well focusing, but being in this awareness. And then you ask these questions about awareness and if it has a special shape and something. And then I think I started visualizing something, and it was, I saw something, and then I thought, I cannot see anything. And then I tried to go back just to this awareness. And then it was like, it was very short, like, that can't be everywhere, but it's because it would be also visualizing. But it was, it was like everywhere. I don't know how to.
So, I mean, of course, those questions were really Vipassana practice, so I just wanted to bring that in a little bit just to get a little bit of a taste for it. And those questions, it's not, they're not sort of like academic questions that this is the right answer, this is the wrong answer. They're used for us to really come to see really what the nature of the mind is. So these are sort of questions then that we need to work with again and again and again and again, just to really to come to a direct experience of what really the nature of the mind is. But this is just a very brief introduction to it, that's all. So I wouldn't worry too much about it. Yeah, I mean that's.
Because there is, you know, it's not a muscle, but it's as if it were a muscle.
Correct. I mean.
Tensing and releasing.
That's right, and so we're trying to. That's exactly what we're trying to do. We're trying to get that balance between not being too relaxed, but not too tense, not too. So we want to be that sort of relaxed and alert at the same time. So we need to. It's that balancing act, and it is to find the right amount of tension in our focus so that we can stay alert but relatively relaxed. So that's a good analogy.
And also, I guess that is where is too much? Where is, but when we really, or when I'm really, you know, sort of inverted upon itself.
I mean, this balance is only something that we can gain through experience. And this balance is a great challenge. Even quite advanced shamatha meditators are still working on trying to find that balance. It's something that is an ongoing thing.
Yeah, I can see that. But I guess I just wanted to see you nodding.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Okay, then what we're going to do now then is another awareness practice, and we're going to do a little bit different this time, and this one is also a little bit about flexing this muscle, sort of expanding, contracting, but in a little bit different way. So let's try it out and see what you think. So again, preparing the body, back straight, and body completely relaxed, completely at ease. Allowing the breathing to flow naturally and effortlessly. Setting the mind in a state of ease and relaxation. Bringing the mind into the present moment. Through focusing on the sensations of the breath throughout the body. allowing the eyes to be at least partially open, vacantly resting your gaze in the space in front of you. And then simply release all appearances and allow the mind to come to rest in its own place, illuminating its own nature. So simply become aware of being aware. From this point, direct your awareness upwards into space as far as you can go, releasing all appearances, directing the awareness upwards. As far as possible. And allow the awareness to return to its own place. Loose and relaxed. And direct your awareness out to your right as far as possible, taking nothing as an object. And then allow your awareness to return to the center. Simply be aware of being aware. Direct your awareness out to your left as far as you can, releasing all appearances. Allow the awareness to come back to the center. Being aware. Now direct your attention or your awareness downwards into empty space as far as possible. Again, allow it to return back to the center, resting in awareness. Allow your awareness to descend to the center of your chest, to the level of your heart. Not visualizing it there, but have awareness from that perspective, from that location. release your awareness into space in all directions, taking nothing as an object. Gently sustaining the flow of awareness of awareness. Remain there with a sense of ease, stillness, and clarity.